Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
My mission is simple: to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. Other people make friends. I'm just trying to make you a little money. My job is not just to entertain you, but to educate, do some teaching. Call me at 1-800-743-CBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. Look, it might be something that's maybe started something good today, right? Stocks were bouncing, NASDAQ, where all the damage has been, seemed to be stabilizing. But then the gloom returned, and it all broke down, with the Dow ultimately losing 107 points, S&P declining 0.23%, and the NASDAQ dipped 0.909%. Not bad, 0.09%, because of how bad it's been. But a selling respite turned into a buying interregnum, and then just no stopping those who won out.
Sell, 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 sell
move toward the end of September, like legendary market historian Larry Williams told us last night? It might just come down to our game plan. See, when we come in on Monday, we'll most likely have some concrete, something we can deal with, maybe sink our teeth into about this UAW strike with Ford. Today, Ford made big inroads with the union, while GM and Stellantis have earned its wrath. They're now being targeted specific walkouts. Makes a ton of sense to me that Ford's got a better relationship than the other big automakers with the union, because they've actually been hiring union people for years while the competitors have been shedding them. It always seemed absurd that Sean Fain, the UAW president, chose to treat the big three equally, given that Ford's pay differential cuts much more in favor of the unions than the other two. And if Ford can get a deal done on decent terms, meaning no material bump in labor costs beyond the current offer, then this charitable trust stock could start a sustained climb. That could be Monday's business. Tuesday, we have one of the best promises of small business around when we hear from Cintas. Remember, we had them on recently? What a story. Uniform rental service, a lot of other stuff, too, that they run through that system. The company grows when there's more commerce, and I bet their numbers will be stellar. Cintas has been able to get new contracts even when business isn't strong, and I've long been a fan of the stock. But let's see if they're finally seeing a slowdown in either new or existing clients. I mean, you know what? They got a million clients, so we ought to know. Close observers of this show, including just last night, know that I think the world of what Dave Gitlin's doing at Carrier. He's reinventing the company as the most environmentally sound purveyor of heating, ventilation, air conditioning, or HVAC systems. So much energy is used for climate control. By making this stuff more efficient, he's helping his clients become more environmentally friendly while also reducing their electric bill. Now, Carrier's got this huge deal on the table. Currently, €12 billion acquisition of Viessmann Climate Solutions. That's a merger that could close as soon as the end of the year. It's a phenomenal company with a terrific product that uses much less energy to make heat using a special boiler technology. Let's see what they have to say on Tuesday. I like their attitude. After the close, my favorite retailer, Costco, reports there are so many things we need to hear from Costco. Let's figure them out, right? We've got to get the growth rate, the number of new members, including high-tier executive members, and any expansion overseas. We need to see if Costco's got plans for a special dividend, maybe a boost in membership fees. That always helps bottom line. How about how many people are switching from branded products to the premium Kirkland store brand? All these will help us get a bead on how things are really going on in this whole country. Because as much as I love Costco, and I love it enough to own it for my charitable trust, we need to find out whether this company's seeing any kind of consumption slowdown, because the Fed will keep raising rates until the consumer cools. Now, maybe the consumer cools by going more to Costco. Next, Paychex reports Wednesday, and it's the payroll processor of choice for small, medium-sized businesses, which have been holding up incredibly well. It's amazing how few layoffs and bankruptcies we've had, while many new businesses are still being formed. Until outfits like Paychex again start saying business is stalled, you must accept the fact that more rate hikes are coming. It doesn't just go away. We don't wake up one day and Paychex says things are terrible, because things are good. Like I keep saying, business is way too strong for the Fed to even think of letting up, let alone cutting rates. Who thinks that? Well, besides all the people in the bond market. Now, is the long drought over in the PC world? Has the inventory of semiconductors been worked off? And now, do we finally have fresh demand coupled with the need for storage related to artificial intelligence? Only one company can tell you all that, and that's MU. That's right, MU, Micron, memory chip maker. I really like Micron. I really like its CEO, Sanjay Mehrotra, tells it straight. Incredibly upfront about the oversupply in chips the whole way. I'm going to listen closely to everything he says, because so much of tech still depends on the personal computer, a giant DRAM user. That's where they go. Well, they go all over the place, but they're in a lot of different things, but that's what I think. And there's still some time left before we get to the bottom of the huge inventory bulge, but the stock's been creeping up. We still don't have big demand yet at the PC level. We don't have those new PCs. It'll be first quarter 24. They'll be doing sorts of all-star AI stuff with your PC. But that's far out. Maybe we can anticipate it. Let's see what Sanjay says. Thursday morning, we get to hear from one of the most consistent companies in tech, Accenture. Of course, that's because Accenture is not really a tech company, per se, at least. It's more of a consultant to companies that want to digitize. This remarkable business should have a solid handle on artificial intelligence. Is it overblown, or is it truly transformative? How quickly can we make money off it, or are we going to lose money off it? Anybody can tell you it's going to be Accenture. These guys rarely miss, and when they do, the stock tends to sell off hard, and then it comes right back over time, because their underlying business is so strong, and people need their help in order to be able to figure out all this tech stuff. CarMax also reports that it turns out these guys are much smarter than I thought. I sit down and wow, they know what they're doing. I'm expecting this used car company to put up some great numbers. But there's a financing component here that makes me worried, right? The interest rates have gone higher. People buy cars on time, so to speak, financing. And the Fed's relentless rate hike is going to be hurting all these used car dealers. In that sense, CarMax is at the front lines of the Fed's attempt to slow the economy. So far, there's been no meaningful slowdown here in the category, even as prices have come down from their highs. Let's find out if higher rates are finally choking sales or if they continue to be good. Probably the most controversial story next week is going to be the quarter from Nike. Now, we need to be concerned about how Chinese sales are holding up, because for the first time, we're actually hearing reports that Chinese sneaker companies are making inroads here. I am loath to knock the stock of Nike now that it's down 22% for the year, 40 points from its highs. At the end of the day, this is a darn good company, and Nike stock could be a buy simply because it's so low. For weeks now, Wall Street's had nothing but good things to say about the cruise lines, especially Carnival. I get that. People are long on money and short on time, and the cruise represents a terrific bargain. But believe me, if this market's as gloomy as next Friday, as it was today, well, I got to tell you, you don't want to touch the stock. No way Carnival gets any love unless the backdrop of gloom changes to something a little more bullish. Finally, we get some macro numbers that matter to the Fed, namely the core PCE deflator, both month over month and year over year. This is one of their favorite metrics. I'm laser focused on inflation here because buyers still seem to be reluctant to step up until this tightening cycle's over. And we're now witnessing a classic move toward bonds, given that interest rates have gotten to levels that we haven't seen in 17 years. People want to lock in with the things good rate of return. So when you get something like the core PCE deflator, it needs to not just stop going higher. We actually need to see it go lower, or the Fed's not going to be done. Unfortunately, I'm not sure it's there yet. The economy's too strong. But the breathtaking move higher in rates at the long end of the yield curve, you know, 20, 30 years out, may by itself begin to curtail spending, something that's been stubbornly strong because, yes, the job market has been so red hot. Here's the bottom line. I think the averages are getting beaten down to the point where it's a lot easier for us to rally. But until we see some signs that the Fed's truly beaten inflation, it's hard to get too excited about this market. Although I am mindful that a market as hated as this one can always throw you a hanging curve. Woo. Arthur in California, please. Arthur.
Hey, Jim. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, Arthur. What's going on?
So I was looking into buying a stock, something steady, long-term for my kids who are really young. And I was looking for something that was recession-proof with great dividends. I had my eye on Pepsi or Coca-Cola. Just wanted to get your take. Which one you think, what are your thoughts?
This is tough. Coca-Cola had some really good numbers. It's a little bit cheaper than it has been historically. PepsiCo, Ramon LaGuardia, is just taking this Frito-Lay business and put it turbocharged. I'm going to say right now, PepsiCo is the winner of those two. But they're both good companies. But right now, Ramon LaGuardia has got it going. How about we go to my home state? How about we go to Jason in New Jersey? Jason.
Booyah, Jim.
Booyah, Jason.
I'm just a young man from Mays Landing, New Jersey. I watch the show all the time. Thank you for what you do.
I got
a bank stock for you. Multi-year low, great PE, great EPS, and a killer dividend. What's your take on TFC?
All right. I absolutely agree with all that, but that does not make a stock go up in this environment. Unfortunately, all the things you said are true, but I got to find a reason to pull the trigger. And at this very moment, I just don't have one. All right. We got to stay focused on inflation next week because it will tell us when this tightening cycle will end and the gloom will finally lift. I think we're closer than you realize. I'm still back in Larry Williams on Mad Money tonight. After reporting a record quarterly last month, it's now time to get into Federal Realty, 4.6% yield. I'm hearing more about if the strength could continue from the company's top brass. And natural gas prices have yet to recover from last year's decline, $2.76. So what should you do with a company like EQT, which is the largest? You won't miss my exclusive. And now that we know the Fed plans to keep rates higher for longer, what could be the long-term impact be on our nation's best steelmaker, Nucor? I'm talking to the CEO to see if this recent dip could be viable. So stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Fact, running a business is not getting easier on your wallet. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. Also a fact, smart businesses are reducing costs and headaches by graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See how you'll profit with NetSuite, and then you can think of all the ways you could be spending the money you save. Company retreat in Malibu, anyone? By popular demand, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to NetSuite.com to start saving.
Earlier this month, I told you that if you believe interest rates are going to peak, you might want to start buying the higher quality real estate investment trusts on the way down, although there aren't that many of them. These stocks have been crushed by higher rates, making their dividend yields less attractive. So if Fed only tightens, say, one or two more times, the pain might stop soon. And that's why I recommended Federal Realty, FRT. It's a retail REIT that owns mixed-use properties in wealthy first-ring suburbs. Not only do these guys have terrific tenants, they've also raised their dividend, get this, for 56 straight years. That is by far the longest active streak in the industry. And remember, these are shopping centers. They're not the malls. Don't take it from me. Let's dig deeper with Dom Wood. He's the bankable CEO of Federal Realty Investment Trust. Learn more. Hey, Mr. Wood, welcome back to Mad Money.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having
me. Okay, now people just have to understand, because they've heard dividend cuts. They're worried about people still shopping that's not Amazon. But the fact is, there is a level of shop that is in our routine that we go every day. And in the good neighborhoods, because demographics matter, you can have a company like yours that can raise the dividend every single year because you're doing so well.
You know, Jim, when you think about pre-COVID, 2016 through 2020, it was kind of like purgatory in our business because the question was, did you need bricks and mortar?
Right. Hey.
Let's get everything delivered in cardboard boxes to our house. And COVID hits. COVID goes through, people get quarantined for a bunch of time. Guess what we figured out? People are social. People like being outside. Open air hasn't been as strong as it is today in really a long part of my career.
And that means your places are filled and they're doing incredibly well.
Well, you know what it is now? If you're sitting, as you just started out, you've got interest rates, which kills real estate values.
Right.
But if you sit and you look at Federal today, 56 years of raising that dividend, you can get 4.5% yield today while the stock price is clearly under the value of these assets.
Absolutely.
Longer term. So
Absolutely.
While you're waiting for whether it's one more rise, no more rise, whatever's going to happen, I can tell you that the dividend is surely pretty darn secure, right? 56 years should tell you that. Collect 4.5% while you wait. What historically has happened, and that is that we trade at or above the net asset value of the company.
Okay, so people may say, oh, come on, that's nonsense. But I'm going to say, a group of guys, we got together, and we said, you know what, we got to go buy a Bed Bath & Beyond, and we'll open pickleball courts in it, okay? Because those are going to be empty forever. It turned out to be you filled them in how many days and for how much more money?
For the longest time, Jim, we've known each other a long time.
Yes, we have.
And for the longest time, I kept telling you, and I believe this thoroughly, that supply exceeded demand.
Right.
And that was the case because
yes.
There was development through the 90s, through the 2000s. There has not been new supply of shopping centers now in over 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. Guess what happened? That equilibrium changed.
Right.
Demand exceeds
right.
supply. So the notion that a box goes out, so what? A box goes out. But I'll tell you the more important thing. The boxes, whether it's the replacement for Bed Bath, whoever it is, they're important because everybody knows about them. They're largely public companies. They bring people to the shopping centers, but you don't make a lot of money with them. You make the money with the small shops.
Yes.
You make the money with what you do with the people that have come to shop at the boxes. That's why food is really important. That's why health and beauty is really important. That's why personal fitness is really important. Open air shopping centers in high quality places.
Right, that's
and we're
going to demographically
get to that, Jim,
high.
It matters where they
people
are.
People have to be making a certain amount of money in the area for this thing to work.
Got to make money and spend money, and there
right.
better be barriers to entry. And
now,
barriers to entry means, you know, you can't have a new shopping center popping up every 3 miles because
right.
you have no pricing power.
But then the people, I mean, it's so amazing. The naysayers say, oh, well, hold on, Santana Row, he's got never going to be able to do mixed use. And now they're going to say, I got the next quote. It's going to be like this. So, Don, you have Splunk. They got bought by Cisco. I guess that's going to hurt you.
Why is that going to hurt us? First of all, it's an incredible credit that assures payment of that lease through its lease term, which is years away. Then, when we're talking about those years to come, what happens to that space? I'm telling you, you think we're just going to give up on Cisco and what they want to do there? What alternatives are happening out there? I don't know. You can't tell me it's a problem today if I've got years on that lease of a better credit than I had yesterday.
Well, I do want you to talk to me about I want people to understand that you decided that you're not everywhere. You're not going to be in every part of the country because that's a losing strategy.
Yeah, you know, there's been, think about this, and I think anybody in New York or frankly in any major city understands this. When the people who are making good livings downtowns got the opportunity to work from home 3 days, 4 days, whatever it is per week, they took their purchasing power that they spent downtown, and they brought that out to the suburbs where
yes.
they live. So now when I think about the family who used to be the breadwinner going in four or five days a week, now is home 2 days a week, they're still spending. But they've what that's created was incremental demand at our places in these first-ring suburbs. Really important. Has to be good jobs in those suburbs.
Are there any room in any of the apartments that you built?
No.
Not one, huh? Well, tell people the strategy. The strategy was brilliant, and everyone thought it was dangerous.
Look,
they're small thinkers.
Here's the point. If you're a real estate person, and you use retail as your, that's what you do for a living. That's what you're really good at. That's what Federal's good at. You're bringing a lot of people to a piece of land. Now, once you have them there, how do you exploit that even further? And the notion is, in certain places, the ability to build up, you're not going to do retail on the 8th floor or the 10th floor. What are you going to do? You're going to do residential. Occasionally, you'll do office. But the notion is what you're doing is exploiting the environment that you've created on the ground floor. That has worked really, really well for us in four or five of our major markets.
See, I think it's amazing that people don't understand the difference. I want you to tell them. There is a qualitative difference between the mall, which was at one point we were all in love with, and the shopping center, which is what we're in love with now. How did that morph?
Look, the bottom line is where the real estate is the most important thing,
right.
No matter what the format. So there are plenty of enclosed malls in great locations that work well today, worked well yesterday, will tomorrow. To me, what it's about is the authenticity of your lifestyle. So when you and your family live in a suburb, I want our place to be an extension of your backyard, an extension
with
of your living
local room. Restaurant, with your supermarket, with your workout place.
I want you to do it all. I want a member of your extended family to be at our property 3, 4, 5 times a day for very different uses.
Right.
That's why larger pieces of land, really well landscaped, really well placed, make demand exceeds supply.
Right.
So if in any business any of your viewers are watching, you have to first ask, is there demand at the top line? Because if nobody wants what you're building, doesn't matter what interest rates are,
right.
Doesn't matter any of the other stuff, do you have demand for your product? We haven't seen this level of strength and demand for a very long time.
And that's why your stock is just ridiculously cheap, frankly.
I think so.
And I did. There are times when I was worried that you raised that dividend. And now I just know that you're the only one in this. Well, there's some other guys in that REIT. I don't want to slam them because you've got some good companies. But there's only one that I know has got the great, incredible mosaic. I urge you people to look. Beholden to not one single company. Not one single company. That's how diversified you are.
Appreciate that.
I love that.
Record earnings, record revenues, record traffic. These days.
All
start
win.
Their top line. You ought to be able to provide value to your shareholders.
Totally agree. Don Wood, CEO of Federal Realty Investment Trust. That's FRT. Great yield. Remember, raises it every year. The only dividend aristocrat in the entire industry that he's in. Mad Money's back after the break.
Coming up, drivers on America's highways can confirm tolls make money. Find out how EQT is using that model to cash in. Next.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
While the price of oil soared to $90 a barrel, the price of natural gas never really recovered from its meltdown late last year. to the point where it spent the last 6 months bouncing between $2 and $3, letting it stabilize toward the high in the range around 275. But the price remains pretty darn low by historical standards. And if we get another mild winter, it could stay down here for a while. But boy, if we get a bad winter, whoa, could soar. So is it time to rethink the natural gas producers, which you know I happen to like? Let's take a closer look with EQT Corporation, America's number one natural gas exploration and production company. It's focused on the Marcellus Shale, Utica Shale, Pennsylvania. You know, we've been to these places, West Virginia, Southeast Ohio, we're there too. And we're going to talk to Toby Rice, he's the president and CEO of EQT, get a better sense of what's happening. Mr. Rice, welcome back to Mad Money.
Hey, happy to be here, Jim.
All right, so Toby, I got to tell you, I mean, not that I'm a Hollywood guy, but before we get started on the substance, you guys set a drilling record that is so remarkable that I want you to share it with people because I had to I had to look at it twice. I didn't think it was possible. It's incredible how fast you drill. So just I'm giving you the floor on it.
Yeah, Jim. So we set a drilling record for the most amount of horizontal feet drilled in a 48 period of time. We drilled over 18,000 feet. In that period. Unfortunately, that record has been broken, and that is no longer the world record. The world record is established again a couple weeks later. The team broke their own record and drilled even further. What's really remarkable to think about this, the efficiency that we've brought here at EQT and American Energy, we are holding about 6 BCF a day of natural gas production flat with only 4 rigs. Think about that. That's the amount of energy. It's about 1 million barrels a day energy in gas form, but being held flat with only 4 rigs. It's a remarkable resource and a remarkable asset that we have here at EQT.
All right. So those who think that we're going to be exporting so much that we're going to run short in this country should listen to what you just said, because it's almost preposterous that that could happen.
People need to understand that the amount of resource that we have is directly correlated to the price of natural gas. Jim, we've done a lot of estimates and said, you know, exports are an amazing thing. They're the key to lowering emissions from foreign and by replacing foreign coal. It's the key to providing energy security to our allies. It's the key to providing energy security to the United States, because exports mean surplus and surplus means security. We said, how big could this be? We've done the work, and we believe that we have the resources to increase natural gas production in this country to allow us to quadruple our LNG exports and export up to 60 BCF a day of natural gas. That would represent a 50% increase in natural gas production in this country. But to do that, we only require $4 natural gas, which would be a discount to the 20-year price of natural gas, which is around $4.50. We have a tremendous resource in this country. The question is, can we get the pipelines and LNG facilities needed to unleash the biggest green initiative on the planet and the biggest energy security blanket the world has ever seen?
Well, we got Mountain Valley Pipeline. That makes me very excited, right?
Jim, I get excited for about 2 seconds, and then I realize we're in a world where it takes an act of Congress to get a pipeline built. I'm very excited about the leadership we've seen in Washington. I'm excited to see that Secretary Granholm has written a letter to the FERC saying that they support Mountain Valley Pipeline. But the reality is this. Getting pipelines built in this country has been almost impossible. We've built fewer pipelines in the last year than we have in the previous 30 years. Think about that. It's no question why we say that we're going to be in a very volatile pricing environment, because we have very little flexibility in the energy ecosystem to deal with any adverse event. That means when the event hits, and it's not if, it's when, we do not have the flexibility to deal with that event. And that event could be a winter storm. We see CEOs from utilities writing letters to President Biden that they do not think they can get through a winter if they have an event. It could be a cyber incident. We saw what happened with Colonial Pipeline, almost shut the country down. It could be another geopolitical event. Guess what? Russia is not the only petro dictator we need to worry about. If we want to give ourselves the flexibility to deal with this and bring real energy security to America, the key is unleashing U.S. LNG on the world stage. That is how we're going to bring the flexibility back to this country, so we can enjoy our lives and move about addressing big problems in this country.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here. I think there are people out there, when I say I like your company very much, they say, well, it's really dirty. Don't forget, it's dirty. Net zero buyer before 2025. I mean, what do people do? They do any homework? Are they speaking out of ignorance?
Yeah, Jim, we've got to change the conversation. There's a lot of focus on the emissions associated with making our product. And we need to change the conversation to what are the emissions benefits when people use our product. So we're putting our money where our mouth is, and we are going to be net zero by 2025. Why is this important? Just to give you perspective, EQT, our carbon footprint is around 450,000 tons. Now, that's the emissions it takes for us to run our rigs, complete our wells, take care of the wells. But that carbon footprint will create an amount of product when put on the world stage to replace foreign coal. The emissions reducing benefits is over 150 million tons. So 400,000 tons of cost to generate 150 million tons of benefit. That's where the conversation needs to be focused. So we're going to be net zero by 2025. So the conversation is forced on what are the emissions benefits of using natural gas.
But at the same time, because you're very shareholder friendly, people know you're not just spending like mad in giant infrastructure. You're aware you can make a lot of money for shareholders and still participate in the great export revolution.
Absolutely. For us, we realize that our purpose here in this equation is to get the energy out of the ground as reliably, safely, and cost effectively as possible. There's a lot of people that are making investments in LNG facilities. One of the things that we think we can help is letting people know that increasing LNG exports is going to be the biggest environmental benefit that we can offer to the world. It's the only way that the United States can answer a big question: what can the United States do to lower emissions outside of our borders? The answer is using our natural gas to replace the biggest source of emissions, which is foreign coal. Jim, the environmental benefit of doing this, just for comparison, how big this is, when we unleash US LNG, if we can achieve these levels, it will have the environmental benefit equivalent to electrifying every car in the country, putting solar on every house in America, and also doubling US wind capacity combined. It's a massive opportunity. That's why you see ESG investors being excited about LNG, because not only is it good for the environment, it's good for society, and the energy security that this will bring is unparalleled.
All right, well, I'm going to keep bringing your story to the public because you have a great one to tell, and you have an unbelievable investment opportunity because your costs are so low versus where I think natural gas is going. That's Toby Rice, President and CEO of EQT. They're the biggest. Thank you, Toby. Great to see you again.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Mad Money's back after the break.
Coming up, this old Cramer favorite has hit a recent soft patch. But is there a steel foundation below those sagging results? Stay tuned.
Now that Wall Street is worried that the Federal Reserve may have to keep interest rates higher for longer as part of its war against inflation, all sorts of economically sensitive stocks have been hammered. That includes stocks of really high quality companies like Cramer Fabe Nucor, which is the world's best steelmaker. It's now down 12.5% from its recent high just 3 weeks ago. Now, not long ago, Nucor stock was on fire. Recession fears had faded. We knew they'd get a big boost from all the federal infrastructure spending that's on the way. Now, though, the Fed mandated recession fears are back. And while Nucor still has a ton of great infrastructure coming for it soon, if this United Auto Workers strike is definitely hangs on, it could be bad for the steel industry. It also didn't help when Nucor did its standard early pre-announcement last week, and they had to guide a little bit lower than expected for the earnings in the current quarter. And that did send the stock down 6% in a single day, somewhat surprising. How worried should we be? Let's go straight to the source with Leon Topalian. He's the chairman, president, CEO of Nucor. Get a better read of the situation. Mr. Topalian, welcome back to Mad Money.
Jim, thanks for having me.
Well, Leon, I got to tell you, I have to ask you, I mean, how worried should I be? We've got a Federal Reserve that's talking about rates longer, higher, for what seems like a very tough tightening cycle. But at the same time, we've got all this great infrastructure money. You're running leaner than ever. Your clients, for the most part, are doing terrifically. I don't know whether to be worried and look at those analyst estimates, which are horrendous, or just stick with Nucor because it just keeps delivering.
Hey, here's what I would tell you, Jim. As we looked into 2023, we expected the back half of the year to be a little softer than the first half. But context is really important here. If we annualized our guidance that we just put out for the year, it'd be the third best year in the history of our company. The other thing to keep in mind, Jim, when I came on your show 3.5 years ago, I talked about our new mission statement: to grow the core, expand beyond, and live our culture. Through that period of time, we've generated $18 billion of net earnings, returned $8.7 billion back to our shareholders, generated a TSR of over 190% and given back $2 billion to the Nucor team members and the Nucor family in the form of profit sharing. So I would tell you, while there's some headwinds, I couldn't be more excited about our future and how we're positioned to capitalize on those things you just touched on and really the mega trends that we're seeing in this economy.
Well, I've always told people that it's not so much necessarily even the end markets as Nucor is in, all you pick good end markets. It just has to do with the structure of Nucor. You are able to make a lot of money in situations where other steel companies are actually capable of losing money. Do you still feel strongly that we can bridge the gulf between now and the infrastructure money, that it will not be a situation where, for instance, where the analysts think that your earnings are going to be cut by a full third?
Look, I absolutely agree that the cash flows we're generating, the returns we're generating are incredible. We have created higher highs and higher lows. And so I think you've seen a structural shift in our industry. And while we're seeing a little moderation again from historic highs, there are so many tailwinds in how we win. And at the end of the day, over the last six decades, we've won by being the low cost value add producer. And that's going to continue well into our future.
Now, the auto strike is not primarily your steel. That's actually, it's not great. It's not a great market. It's never been a great market. It's other than in Mexico, it's not been a great market. But are you concerned that it could go on for longer and hurt other markets besides just the autos that you are involved in?
Yeah, look, as you've had many of your guests on and certainly your viewers, the auto market in our nation is really important to the economy, whether it's the supply into or the direct OEM. So our hope is that this strike resolves itself quickly and we get through that. But to your point, Nucor is about 1.5 million tons into the industry out of a 30 million ton supply that we have. So we're not overly weighted there, and that will continue to grow. When you can supply our OEMs with the cleanest steels, the highest capability set, we're going to continue to generate and move more into that end market as we move forward in the years to come.
Okay. Now, I am concerned there's a whole new tariff situation. We've been talking about tariffs with you guys forever, because we both know that if we do not prevent cheap steel, particularly from China, coming to this country, then we're not going to be able to have a defense that's even capable of defending, whether it be Ukraine, whether it be Taiwan. So how do we feel about with the 25% tariff on steel imports, trying to make it so that our allies aren't hurt, and still keep back the Chinese steel, which historically has been very difficult to do because the Chinese find other ways to dump into our country?
Yeah, look, that is a condition we're going to continue to advocate for. Again, it began long before I and with Dan D'Amico and John Ferriola before I. We've got to continue to advocate. The oversupply in the world, particularly out of China, is significant. You know, 5-6 years ago, we only had about 50 cases of carbon steel one in the United States. Today, that's over 150. So we've got to continue to advocate for our industry. Secretary Raimondo, who you know well,
yep,
understands our industry. Our USTR and Catherine Tai really understands their leadership in understanding this industry and not protecting free trade, but fair trade, because it's not just cheap steel. It's illegally subsidized and dumped steel that really harms the industry in this nation.
You're absolutely right. I should not use the term cheap. And I would also add substandard and nothing that we necessarily want, yeah, and anything having to do with our military and our great defense. Now, I do want to know absolutely about the last couple acquisitions. I thought they were terrific diversifications. How are they working out, particularly the racks and garage?
Yeah, we couldn't be more excited to welcome those team members into the Nucor family. And it really falls in that camp of expanding beyond to look for those adjacent companies that help us rebuild, reshore, repower the future of America. And so that's going to continue in the future. But those acquisitions have worked out incredibly well. They're dedicated team members and they're generating well beyond the IRR calculations of the projects as we brought them before our board and continue to return really attractive results.
Oh, that's terrific. I know I was worried that maybe there wouldn't be enough warehouses built, but you were correct. I mean, e-commerce is still, it's never going to return to the way it was. One last question I want to know, and it's not the question that I know Wall Street cares about. Do we have enough steel being built by Nucor and some of your competitors to be able to handle what's needed for all the infrastructure orders that are coming?
Absolutely. We are well poised as an industry to serve the growing demand in chips, IRA, and infrastructure. So, yes, I would tell you there's a lot of growth. Nucor's on the end of a $14 billion CapEx campaign that will culminate in the mill starting up in West Virginia that's going to well position us to serve those needs. And, you know, Jim, as you talked about the fears in the market, I was on your show a year ago as the analyst at that point were predicting a cliff coming in 2023. I think there are a lot of tailwinds that are going to continue to well position us. You called it then. I think there's enough strength in this market as we head into 24 that the best days are in front of Nucor still.
But just so people know, the analysts are calling for $6 for this year, and Leon does that in a quarter, and they were looking for $6. Leon DePaglia is the Nucor Chair, President, and CEO. What a remarkable company. Thank you, Leon, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jim.
Man, Mike's back after the break.
Coming up, Kramer takes your calls, and the sky is the limit. It's a fast fire lightning round. Next.
Before we get back to our normal program, there's something really exciting that I want to share with you today. The reason it's so special is because it's just for you, our Mad Money viewers. You always hear me talk about the work I do for the special community that is the CNBC Investing Club. Now, look, for only one more week, I'm going to share a little taste of the work that I do with Jeff Marks during the day. Let me give you an example of what you can get, okay? Earlier in our morning meeting, which is exclusive to subscribers every day, 10:20 a.m. streaming, we spoke about club holding Starbucks. As fears are mounting regarding the coffee chain's future in China with local competition heating up, we got a positive announcement in a brand new coffee innovation center. It was totally overlooked. It was the first of its kind for the company that will vertically integrate the company in China, producing everything from bean to cup. I don't know. I think the concerns about China and Starbucks are overblown. And I think you should be buying Starbucks here. That's why I shared that information with you. And you didn't get it anywhere else. I'm going to cover this in more detail right after the lightning round. I think the stuff that we're doing is so pertinent, so important, so educational that you make you into a much better investor. And I think you should just join the club and get more insights just like this. That's why CNBC is giving you an exclusive offer available to only to Mad Money viewers. So grab your phone, open your camera, and point it at the QR code or go to cnbc.com/Jim Offer. Sign up now and you're going to get a lot more insights like this. I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And now it is time. It is time for the lightning round on Kramer's Mad Money. That's what you're going to grab for. Let me say, I'm going to talk to you about just because it caused my stock better than you. Play this out. And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready, Ski Daddy? Time for the lightning round. Let's start with Frank in New York.
Hey, Jim.
Frank.
Jimmy Chill. Frank.
She'll be here.
We'll call him.
What's up?
How are you, Jim? The one thing you have lots of is that it's integrity. And I hope appreciate it. Our own game is okay.
Thank you. You got to own it. Hey, Jim, you got to own it. What's up?
You mentioned this stock Confluent 2 months or so, give or take, you know? And it was in the high 30s, I don't know, 37, 38, whatever. And today it fell below 30. Is this something that I should hold or sell or buy more of?
Well, you know, it's such a good company. You got to buy it in scale because it's not making any money yet. But they are the central nervous system companies, and I think that they are some of the best enterprise software in the world. So beware, it can still go down, but I do like it very, very much. I want to go to Adam in Illinois. Adam.
Hey, Jim. Booyah from a grateful club member. Let's talk cosmetics. I found Estee Lauder to be too rich for my blood, so
right.
I'm trying to play the Chinese appetite for cosmetics. I wound up with Coty. What do you think?
Coty had a good quarter. I got to hand it to him. I mean, a lot of people wrote these guys off. They are coming back. So I'm not against it. I'm not against it at all. Let's go to Stacy in Georgia. Stacy.
Dr. Kramer, I'm ailing. Help me.
What's the matter?
Well, given the recent earnings and today's investigation news, what are your short and long-term thoughts on IoT, Samsara?
I had them boy, you know, this is one that Moffitt Nathanson writes about. That's why I know it. At that guy Jacksonator, he's a real smart guy. And I think it's a real good, you know, it's enterprise software. And those stocks have fallen out of favor after being in favor for about 4 weeks. It is a little expensive, but it is very good enterprise software. What can I say? And he does good work. That guy does quality work. Let's go to Jeremy in Arizona. Jeremy.
Hey, Jim, love your show. First time caller here.
Excellent.
I know you got asked this last week when it was at $22 a share, but Chewy is now trading just shy of $17 a share.
I cannot believe this thing. It's like the people decide, you know what, we don't want any pets. I was just looking at Teddy, a third dog maybe. But you know what? People are buying all that stuff on Amazon, and that's the problem. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round!
Coming up, will China decaffeinate Starbucks in the PRC? Kramer makes the case for a Bente future. Coffee wars and more next.
I'm not sure when the bad news will stop flowing, but I am sure that the endless declines on bogus bad news may be coming to an end. Lately, we've been bombarded with stories that are meant to send stocks down, even if they're not true. Can't let the facts get in the way of a solid negative story, can you? Finally, though, investors are getting wise to the process, and that is when the bottom begins to get put in. For example, not long ago, we heard that China's putting the clamps on Apple, telling government employees not to bring their iPhones to work. The first day, we heard it was only for the Communist Party. The next day, people were acting like it applied to the rank and file in every state-owned institution. That's a huge chunk of the Chinese economy. The story seemed perfectly timed to sabotage the launch of the iPhone 15. And by the way, the bears assured us this new phone didn't really have much going in the way of it. Nothing that could attract a lot of new buyers. It was a 1-2 punch against Apple stock. And of course, it got knocked flat on the canvas. Worst decline in recent memory. I mean, who'd risk investing in Apple if the Chinese government's cracking down on their products? Now, though, the iPhone 15 is out, and we have pictures showing just throngs of Chinese people across multiple cities eagerly buying the new phone, and it looks like the strongest launch in ages. The Communist Party might prefer that people buy domestic, but the people have spoken, and they're buying the iPhone. Somebody's got to remind them that the people united will never be defeated. Next, how about Starbucks? Okay, we heard from the paper that there are other stores making big inroads in China, implication being that Starbucks is about to lose out in the great coffee wars. But what wasn't mentioned? How about the fact that Starbucks just opened a first-of-its-kind innovation tech center, the largest manufacturing distribution facility outside of North America, and it was greeted with great fanfare by the Chinese government itself. It's the first time since Starbucks opened in Beijing in 1999 that the company's vertically integrated in China. Does that kind of endorsement by the government and integration mean nothing to shareholders? There was hardly any publicity about this sign of solidarity with the Chinese government, but there were plenty of stories about how Starbucks is peaking or being overrun by crummy companies or threatening China. I wouldn't have mentioned this event. I really wouldn't have brought it up. But I saw the need for, say, more balance. All right, how about this one? How about the hit job against Broadcom done by an outfit that I'll simply call the Bureau of Misinformation to spare them the charge that maybe they played into the hands of the short sellers and didn't know? The bizarrely sourced story that Broadcom's on the verge of losing a huge piece of Google business was denied immediately by both companies, something I broke by saying on Squawk on the Street that the story was patently false. My Chapel Trust owns Broadcom, so you could argue I'm favoring Broadcom, but wait a second. My Chapel Trust owns Google parent Alphabet, so, hey, maybe I'm favoring both? Give me a break. It's unfortunate when you correct a publication like that one that got it wrong, the publication then fires off an ad hominem attack. I mean, come on. But as I used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, which is why I carry thermonuclear weapons. Here's my take. When you begin to see four stories about the decline and fall of American institutions, you are often nearing the end of the period where you can knock stocks over with a feather. Doesn't mean the bottom's it. Does mean that if you're a short seller, though, maybe the easy money is finally over. I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere. I promise to try to find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. See you next time. Last call starts now.
All opinions expressed by Jim Cramer on this podcast are solely Cramer's opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by Cramer on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Jim Cramer as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his opinion. Cramer's opinions are based upon information he considers reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Mad Money disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Mad Money disclaimer.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.